Good evening, good people. Good evening, good people. Well, welcome again. We still have quite a few seats to fill, but we know we have 39 commuters who will be coming tomorrow. So that will help fill some of the seats. And we do have a few people I know that we're just getting in and getting settled, and we have a few late arrivals. But it's always such a joy to be with brothers and sisters. So, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'd like to begin by just taking time to gather ourselves and to call upon the Holy Spirit that he would be our guide. He is, after all, our minister general. And so if we could turn to page 2 in your program, and if we could pray together. Oh, my dear God, we pray for the guidance of your most Holy Spirit. Enlighten our minds and give us courage to serve. Help us to speak the truth to one another in a spirit of love. Help us to openly listen to and witness to one another. Give us humility and a spirit of goodwill toward one another. Teach us the way of dialogue, which is the way of love. Help each of us to discover what is ours to do. Not our will, Lord, but thy will be done. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a couple of housekeeping items. First of all, if you haven't found the restrooms, you just go out in the hall, go to the end, turn left as you go out, and then turn left again, and that is where you will find the restrooms. The easiest way to get to the dining hall from this room is actually to go to the elevator or the stairs, go down one level, and then walk back in this direction along that hallway, go out the doors at the end, and it's just a short walk down the street to the entrance to the dining hall. There are no steps that way if you go by the elevator. And if you can handle steps, you can walk down and not wait for the elevator. But that's actually the shortest distance from here to the dining hall. One other announcement I want to make before we begin with the program is that tomorrow, during Mass, we will commission a new spiritual assistant. And we also want to recognize our spiritual assistants who are already serving with us. So if your spiritual assistant is attending, we ask that all the members of your fraternity sit together with your spiritual assistant at tomorrow's Mass, and we will recognize you at that time. Father Robert, are you going to be with us tomorrow? No. Well, I'd like to take a moment to recognize Father Robert Williams from Hendersonville. He's an OFM Capuchin. And he is one of the newest of our spiritual assistants in the region, and we are so blessed to have Father Robert with us. I got all his pedigree from a good friend of mine, Ron Pioca, up in New Jersey, which is where Father Ron was before he came to Hendersonville. And so we're really blessed to have him with us, and I'm glad he could make it tonight to be with us, and please continue to pray for him and for all of our spiritual assistants. Okay. I'd like to recognize our new councils. We actually have 10 new councils, so it was a busy year for elections in our region. That represents a third of our fraternities. And so if you look at pages 16 and 17 in your program, you will see who these are. And I'm just going to go down the list, and I'd like to ask whoever is here from those councils, if you would just stand a second and remain standing until I've acknowledged all of the new councils, and then we will give you a word of encouragement. St. Clair of Assisi Fraternity, Aiken, South Carolina. People who are here, would you please stand? I know some of you are here because I've talked to you. There you go. Don't be bashful. If you just remain standing a minute. Fraternity of Brother Francis, Newton, North Carolina. Okay. St. Francis of the Hills Fraternity, Hendersonville, North Carolina. Spirit of Francis and Clare Fraternity, Conyers, Georgia. I know you can stand for a minute, Joel. How are you, brother? San Damiano Fraternity, Athens, Georgia. St. Clair Fraternity, Asheville, North Carolina. And I believe all of them are coming as commuters tomorrow. So, Blessed John Dunn Scotus Fraternity, Garden City, South Carolina. St. Pio of Pietrelcina Fraternity, Decatur, Alabama. Five Georgia Martyrs Fraternity, St. Simon's Island, and unfortunately that is one fraternity that was unable to attend this annual gathering. Fraternity of St. Clair, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you all for being willing to serve your local fraternity and to be willing to serve the region in the capacity of officers in your fraternity. You may be seated. Okay, I just would like to acknowledge those who are here for the first time. Any of you who are here for the first time, would you please stand? Welcome. Welcome. And now I'd like to go through a little trip through the years, beginning with 2003. Anyone here who was professed in the year 2003, which would mean you are now celebrating or will celebrate this year your 10th anniversary as secular Franciscans. 2003, okay. Thank you. How about 1998? 15 years. 15 years. Okay. How about... All right. I was going to say, I thought Faye, but I didn't say... Faye and Jonita, both who serve on the council. 1993. 20 years. Carol... Doreen, Donna. 25 years, 1988. 30 years, 1983. We got a ringer in the crowd. 35 years, 1978. How about 40 years, 1973? 45 years, 1968? How about 50 years, 1963? She wanted to be with us, but Lee McDevitt of Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary Fraternity in Hilton Head Island celebrates 50 years this year. So congratulations, Lee. How about 55 years, 1958? How about 1953? 60 years. Frank. Stand up, Frank. Frank Peluso from Padre Pio in Raleigh. And in case you thought Frank was the oldest professed here in terms of years professed, I do know we have a wonderful young lady in our midst who was professed in 1948 with 65 years, Barbara Carter from St. Francis of the Hills. Stand up again, Barbara. Stand up. And just in case I missed some other long-term professed members, anyone who's been professed over 50 years, anybody else that's been professed over 50 years? 1961, Deacon Dennis Arcand. I'd like to ask all those of you who stood up as celebrants for your special anniversaries, if at some time when we break, if you come see me, I just have a little something I'd like to give you. And I'd like to recognize our 30-year anniversary visitor, Deacon Tom Bello. Deacon Tom is the national minister for the Secular Franciscan Order, and Deacon Tom is here this weekend to preside over our chapter of elections. We're thrilled to have him back again. He was here last year for our visitation, along with Father Steve Gross, and it's always a joy to be in my brother's company, and hopefully all of you will have an opportunity to share a little bit with Tom during this weekend. And we're going to hear from Tom at 8:15. So with that, I would like to mention one other very important announcement. Actually, two very important announcements. We have three baskets that are going to be going around, one on each of the sections. And in the basket are little pieces of paper, and those little pieces of paper contain a name, and that name is of a brother or sister who is registered to attend this weekend's conference. And what we would like for you to do is to please pray for that person throughout this weekend, and that you would just come to. You don't need to know them. You don't need to meet them. Maybe you'll cross paths. But we just think that it would be a wonderful way for all of us to share with one another by just randomly selecting a name of one of our brothers and sisters. So you'll see the baskets going around, and Sister Caroline and Sister Dorothy are going to start them around, and they'll just be going around as we talk. The other important announcement is that over on the my far right, your left, between the Martyrs of Soroki Brier banner and the St. Francis of the Hills banner, there is a table. And on that table, there are three different books. And what they contain is the sign-up sheets. One book as the sign-up sheets for adoration. We'll be doing 24 hours of Eucharistic adoration beginning after Mass tomorrow morning until Mass on Sunday. We ask that everyone sign up to spend some time with our Lord. While you're here this weekend, there's room for two names next to each other. And they're broken down in, I believe, one-hour increments. And then there's another book for the banner procession, which will take place on Sunday at the Sunday morning mass. We will assemble everyone in the hallway with their banners and process in and then back around. So for the banner procession, we'd like at least one person from each fraternity that has a banner to sign up to be the banner carrier. We're asking that only one person be that banner carrier since our space is somewhat limited. So one person, unless your banner is so heavy that you need two people. The other thing is we have a third book, which has places to sign up to be a reader at the two masses, Saturday or Sunday. Or if you are a Eucharistic, extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, and you would like to serve as a Eucharistic minister at one of those masses, there's a place to sign up for that. There is also, as we had our young men lead our Liturgy of the Hours this afternoon, we also have a place for people to sign up to be antiphonarian and also reader for the Liturgy of the Hours that we'll be praying throughout the weekend. So tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, and Sunday morning. So we also need, as you can see, we're gonna get everybody to serve this weekend. We also need three ushers for Saturday's Mass and three ushers for Sunday's Mass. And that's mainly to help with the communion lines. So with that, I would like to turn over the program to our beloved regional spiritual assistant, Father Linus DeSantis. And I'm looking to see where Father Linus is. We've got about 5 minutes before somebody's pointing. There he is. Come on out. Do you have your mic? Yes. Someone said, do you have your glasses? I didn't say that. Father Linus.
Still got 5 minutes. You can shut that one off. Okay. Now you got to regulate this one. Okay. A Franciscan spirituality of peace. Peace is something that is sought to be experienced, sought to be lived, sought to be embraced by all peoples. It is a gift. It is a tool which allows us to be in communion with one another, allows us to collaborate and cooperate, allows us to share, allows us to become who God calls us to be, allows us to develop our time and our talents, It frees us to do these things so that we don't have to be focused upon, we don't have to be so concerned about protection, preservation, anxiety, fear, mistrust. In the formation of a community, two factors historically are of major importance: safety and food. If we look in history, we see communities become a city, usually built on a hill on the side of a mountain, for protection. Land is set aside in such a way for the agricultural and the animal husbandry needs of that community. The position of that land, what is used, the access and egress are fashioned in such a way so that the members of the community can guard, can be aware of who enters and who leaves. There is safety. They are protected. A threat to either safety or food supply causes unrest, fear, anxiety, anger, and at times suspicion. If the source of the aggression, if the source of the attack upon the person or members of the community, elements of the community, or its food supply, if the source of that attack, the source of that threat is not identified, then there's great suspicion, there's great agitation. There is great fear. Where is this coming from? What is happening? Why is it happening to us? So that freedom that they had has been now aborted. Their calm, their ease, their normal course of action is now stilted. They are certain, there's a certain paralysis to the community. There isn't that growth, there is that preoccupation as to what is happening, who is doing this. Thus it was so with the town of Gubbio, when it was unsuspectingly attacked by the wolf of Gubbio. We know the story. If you've read it, it's rather simple and straightforward. Yet I maintain that it is rather profound, and it is not only a story about a community and a wolf, but a story about humankind and a threat to humankind. This is a story about a wolf who seeks to sustain himself through eating. Simple, basic, fundamental to life, much as the members of the town of Gubbio sought to maintain their food supply so that they could sustain themselves as a community and be about their business beyond the need to question where their food was going to come from or how their food supply was being attacked. Here we have the wolf of Gubbio as an animal, an irrational animal, does not differentiate between food grown in the ground and the food of humanity or of animal. All the wolf is driven by, he is driven by a need to sustain himself, to feed himself. And be it of person, of animal, or of the land, he takes advantage of what is available to him, unsuspectingly, unknowingly, of the unrest he is causing in the town. Their fear turned to hate and revenge. An immediate thought is given to destroy the attacker of man and beast. We look at that, we hear about that, we read about that, and we say it's most natural. Of course they should subdue the wolf. The wolf is taking advantage. He's an aggressor. The wolf is killing people. It's a capital crime in our society. The wolf is disturbing the peace. The wolf is taking advantage by virtue of his power, his ability, through his strength and his ability to subdue a human being, another animal, or whatever is in the ground that he finds worthwhile. There's immediately a hate which occurs between the two. Each is considered an aggressor. As the townspeople begin to seek him out, and he must hide, go up into the hills, run farther away from the town until the pursuit ceases, and then eventually returns to feed. The characteristic of the people of Gubbio, or that is the character of the people of Gubbio, turned from peace-filled loving people to hate and retaliation. The unspoken and truly unknown was the movement of the townspeople from a placid group to a warlike, uncivilized people. Aggression was being met by counter-aggression, a will to dominate, to salve fear, unrest, and intimidation. And the only manner in which they could see this to be achieved or being achieved would be to subdue the other. However, to their benefit and to their grace, there was a blessing in their midst, and the more level-headed individuals looked to resolve the challenge without shedding blood. They sought to use more humane tactics to address the aggression. They called upon St. Francis to be their guide in this difficulty. Francis was pleased to be called upon to pursue calm and peace without physical destruction. Prudence, a rational approach, would be used to identify the problem and to pursue peace. What constitutes prudence and a rational approach? A review of what is occurring. The wolf, very simply, is attacking human beings and other animals, is killing them and is eating them. What does it say? The wolf is hungry. Yes. What are the people of the town doing? Have they had any history of encounter with the wolf previously? No. Immediately they went on the offensive. They were attacked, yes, their men, their women, their children, their animals were attacked. And most immediate was the stance to defend and to retaliate, to subdue. Tactics which allow for no true investigation, review of the situation, a seeking of an alternative approach. It was pure adrenaline that led the people, forced the people into this warlike state. Knowing the mind of the people and what they were seeking, there was need to communicate with the wolf to identify his grievances. The problem centered around the aggression of the wolf in taking life of man and beast, which struck at the core of the value of the people. What St. Francis was able to determine that it was the physical hunger of the wolf which drove him to attack and kill man and beast. As Francis was able to have the two sides identify their displeasure and what they sought as resolution, he was able to visit both sides and explain the pain, the hurt, the fear. As each side realized the position of the other, the next step was to look to resolution. What was needed here? A simple meal for the wolf. An agreement by the wolf that he would not be an aggressor. Yes, very simplistic, very much a part of the Fioretti of St. Francis, but yet so very easily understood. What is the need? What is the challenge? What is the resolution? How can one side serve the other? How can one respond to the need of the other? In this instance, yes, it's speaking of food. Nothing extravagant, nothing out of the ordinary. My sisters and brothers, we can take this particular story of the Wolf of Gubbio and the people of Gubbio, and we can look to our own fraternities, our own homes, our places of work. We can look at every aspect of community in our life. The word community in and of itself speaks of a coming together, a unity, a group in concert, believing, serving, understanding, pursuing a common goal, a common good. What gets in the way? What gets in the way of that communality? Gets in the way of that laudable practice, that laudable pursuit. Each of us at times become a little overbearing. We become, let's say, people who are seeking to control, people who are seeking to have their way be the way, people who hear the words collaboration and cooperation and truly do not have an appreciation for those two words, nor what they allow, what they engender if they are used, if they are employed. Cooperation and collaboration. Continue the communion. Build the communion. When one exerts one's will on another, there is seeking of control. When one retreats from the group because he or she does not want to participate in the group, there's isolation. When one disagrees and voices that disagreement to a number of the members of that community, causes unrest, causes discord, causes faction and fraction. Simple. Very simple, but how true. The human community, any one of us, all of us, we are to keep our heart and our mind aware, aware of who we are, where we are, what we pledge ourselves to be, what we hope to become, to be aware of the other. We, within a context of faith, have all the more reason to be aware, to be sensitive to be respectful of, to appreciate those with whom we are in communion. Maybe that's a word or a statement we should make each day of our lives as we wake up and say, Lord, I am in communion. Help me to keep connected. Help me to share, not to dominate. Help me to cooperate, not control. Help me to give, not only to take. Lord, let me serve, not seek to be served. Simple things, very simple things, but yet so much at the heart of who we are as members of a community, as who we are as a people who seek to build up that communion, that heart, that mind, that spirit, so that we can be an example to the community. We know the outcome, the resolution. The town agreed to feed the wolf. The wolf agreed not to take advantage of life or limb of any member of that community, be it man or beast. communion occurred. Cooperation occurred. Collaboration occurred. Understanding occurred. Respect occurred. Appreciation occurred. Sharing occurred. And I could probably find a few more words. Yet, my sisters and brothers, you notice what can be achieved if we listen, if we seek to resolve, if we invite rather than indict, if we're able to step back and to discern. We, for our part, in our environment here now, we can ask ourselves the question, what would Francis do? What would Francis do in this fraternity? What would Francis do in this council? What would Francis do in this apostolate? What would Francis do in this prayer experience? What would Francis do in this either initial or ongoing formation? That's the question we certainly cannot answer, ask ourselves as we join together in community to grow, to build, to strengthen, to make holy, to make sacrament, to be sacrament, to live sacrament. Peace. Peace is fragile because peace is really subject to the human condition. And we vacillate. We waver. We understand, we believe, we hold sacred peace. Yet at the same time, we offend so very readily and so very easily. It is fragile. It is of utmost importance that we have a deeper appreciation for peace. Because peace gives us the opportunity to become part of, to share, to give, to benefit, to progress, to know God. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Linus. Before I reintroduce our National Minister, Tom, just wanted to point out that this year, and this is sort of a response to comments that we received at last year's evaluation. So a reminder that when the weekend is over, please fill out your evaluations. We do read them. And we do try to respond to your comments. And one of the things that was mentioned was the difficulty in seeing the words to songs. Also, some difficulty with the various volumes used for Liturgy of the Hours and trying to figure out where to go and what to do. Our dear Sister Jonita put together this little prayer booklet for us this year, so that every one of you has all of the songs that we sing, all of the prayer services that we'll be doing. And I just wanted to remind you that on the top of page 2 in this booklet is that Seek Ye First song, which you will hear every time we gather. So please feel free to join in with our wonderful music ministry. Thanks to Dr. Teresa for once again leading us, for Betty on the piano, and for all of our wonderful voices that we have. Thank you. We're going to hear from them all weekend. And a special thanks to Jonita for putting this together for us. And And the other part of your program is, in addition to lists of attendees and so forth and so on, there are several pages in that towards the back of your program that have, there are three pages that have quotes from Pope Francis that you might want to read and sort of meditate on. There are also a couple of pages of quotes from St. Francis and at least one from St. Clair that might be good personal reflections for you during the weekend when you've got some time either in your room or in the chapel. Just to read some of those. Maybe just read one, you know, little line or two lines and just kind of meditate. What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell you with these words? So please use these programs not just to know what's going on and when the next event is, but use them to hopefully help yourselves in formation. Because every time we gather, we need to be forming one another. We need to go deeper. We need to reflect. We need to meditate. And we need to pray. And I would like to ask that we keep all of those in our region who are suffering in any way in prayer. For all those who have asked us for prayer, and for all those that particularly are suffering with cancer. I know many of us have friends and relatives who are going through their trials, and to just take a moment anytime something this weekend sort of irritates you. Father Linus talked about how different little things, we have a tendency to have kind of a knee, what I call a knee-jerk reaction, and we get upset over it. Instead of getting upset, maybe say a decade of the rosary for friends of yours who are struggling in one way or the other, for those of us here. And I know we're not getting any younger. And each year is just such a wonderful experience to look around and see the various ages represented, and particularly those of the wisdom years, many who struggle with getting between here in the dining hall or here in the room and all, but they want to be with their brothers and sisters. And so they are here. And we thank all of you for whatever you had to do to get here, for whatever little struggles you may have during the weekend. We thank all of you for your willingness to join with your brothers and sisters. And so now I'd like to and one more item, and that is you've seen Randy and his daughter Bethany back there. Again, they're with us this year recording everything that's being said. So these talks that you'll hear throughout the weekend are being recorded, and they will be made available on our website as last year's talks are there. So if you want to listen to what Sister Bernadette had to say about me last year, it's on there. Anyways, seriously, we're really, again, a round of applause to Randy and his daughter for being willing to do this for us. Brother Tom, come on up. Now, I have a suspicion that Tom's going to want to talk about the election. I don't know why, but I just have that sneaky suspicion. And I'll just preface what he has to say by telling you that we had 34 nominations for office in the for the Regional Executive Council. However, only 14 answered that call. So I know the Holy Spirit is still out there working with you. So when he taps you on the shoulder, make sure you're listening.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. During those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers. There was a group of about 120 persons in the one place. Peter said, "My brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand through the mouth of David concerning Judas. Quote, may another take his place, end quote. Parentheses, Psalm 109:8. Therefore, it is necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time the Lord Jesus came and went among us, beginning from the baptism of John, until the day on which he was taken up from us, become with us a witness to his resurrection." So they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the apostolic ministry from which Judas turned away to go to his own place." Then they gave lots to them, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was counted with the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord. Good evening, everybody. I want to unpack this and use it as a motivation, if I can, for you to be thinking deeply about this election. But I share with Jerry the great joy of being a member of this great Franciscan family, and we're honored, I think, to have that cross that I've talked about before, and I'm not sure which side is which, but if you're coming across this way, you're lucky to have all three of the great orders of the Franciscan family here. First order, and I think you've got all of the first order too, I think. At least I saw it in the program. If Father Linus is still here, you've got OFM Conventual, and the young man from Hendersonville, you're a Capuchin, aren't you? And Father David, I met you, I don't know where you are, yes, and you're OFM, right? So we got the entire First Order represented. And Sister Bernadette, I don't know if she's here, but Sister, you're a Port Clare, aren't you? There's the Second Order. And here we are, the Third Order, secular, okay, the secular order. What, isn't that incredible? Okay, that's amazing. It's such a great feeling that in our different walks of life, tonight we're walking together. And, of course, if you come this way, the regional fraternity is made up of the Regional Executive Council, which you're going to elect a new one tomorrow, and the ministers of all of the local fraternities. It is so great to see so many of you from the local fraternities because, hello, if the local fraternity dies, we die. And those of you who do anything in your local fraternity, please keep your fraternities alive. I, as national minister, cannot bring in any new members to the national fraternity, okay? The regional executive council cannot bring in any new members. They are either elected in or they appointed. But we can't go out into the highways and the byways. The new life comes from the local fraternities. But then we're grouped into regions, and that's why you are here in your regional chapter. You're having an election, so thank you for inviting me. The next level up, if you will, to preside, as is mandated in our documents. And of course, there's a level over me, the international. And if you ever go to the CIOFS website, and it's pretty easy to get, www.ciofs, okay? There's a wonderful meditation that they have. I'm not going to read it all to you, but it's called Guidelines for the Celebration of SFO. It's dated a little long ago, Fraternity Chapters. And it reads as follows. The celebratory character of the chapter for secular Franciscans. Our fraternity chapter is not an ordinary meeting like a civil or a secular meeting. The chapter is a feast, a celebration. To celebrate means, if you unpack the word, celebrate means to make present. To make what present? To make Christ himself present. And that's the great challenge. Not only are there no strangers here at our chapter, but the great challenge to us is if you can see spiritually that Jesus Christ is really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, at the consecration, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Can you then look at your baptized and professed brothers and sisters and see Jesus Christ in them? Do you have that spiritual sight? Because that's what we're called to see. We make Christ present by being and seeing Jesus Christ in one another. I'm not making this up. It says this here. And of course, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am present. Jesus is with us here. The chapter is also to be always celebrated in an attitude of conversion. Daily conversion, as it says in our rule, since there is a continuing search for greater perfection in life according to the rule in fraternity. And this is a fraternity, the regional fraternity. In the chapter, all personal interests, all ambitions of power must be excluded. Everything must be done according to the example of Jesus Christ, who we are called to make present in the spirit of service. Therefore, it is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that community, that communion, as Father was talking about, God who must be at the heart of the thoughts of this group and of each of us individually, each of us individually. And only that way can we find the inspiration and the grace to conform to his authentic will. Celebration. Being and seeing Jesus present in one another. I love this reading when we have a chapter of elections because there's such a splendid humility, such a splendid kind of seeing Christ, if you will. Peter, of course, is the first Holy Father. He's the man in charge, if you will. The fraternity minister. He could have appointed somebody to fill the place of Judas. I don't think anybody would have argued with him. Even in our guidelines, if they're coming election, the council can appoint somebody. Peter doesn't do that. I don't know how many people we have here. We've got more than 120, I think. In the same way that Peter gave it to the group, so Jerry and I are giving it to the group. Jerry's not going to. Father Linus is not going to appoint a new council. You are the voters. Now, I didn't notice any, picture voter IDs here. I didn't notice any check, to see if you had properly registered. Maybe I missed that. I'm not sure what was going on at the polling booth. But the splendid humility of Peter, I want to start with. And then I was a little frightened when Jerry said that X number were nominated and Y number accepted. I don't really know if Justus and Matthias wanted to do this. I mean, think about those two guys. It says here they proposed, the people, the 120, proposed these two names. I'm not sure they asked Justus and Matthias. I mean, did Justus and Matthias know what they were getting nominated for? Now, notice that Peter sets these qualifications. You had to be a witness from the time of the Lord's baptism until his resurrection. A little tiny event was kind of missed in there. But surely they all knew, as we all know, there is no resurrection without crucifixion for the Lord. Are we any better? Are Justus and Matthias any better? So I respect their humility, Justus and Matthias. I'm sure they had hesitation. They must have known what happened to Jesus. They were witnesses for the whole journey. Now, maybe the resurrection made them feel better. Well, all of us, I hope, expect the resurrection, that great joy. Are you ready to be crucified? Tonight? Tomorrow in the elections? And then, of course, the people, if you will. Gosh almighty. I wish at every election of the United States, every single voter, whether they're voting for the president or the local dog catcher, would make this prayer. You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, so which one you have chosen? Now, please forgive me. When I went to vote this past November, I certainly was praying, Lord, forgive me. I wasn't so happy with either choice, I'm sorry. But anyway, we're not getting into that. But the people themselves were very humble. They're not saying we know the voice of the people, vox populi. No. Uh-uh. As Jerry said so beautifully, it's not my order, his order, our order. It's the Holy Spirit's order, okay? And we want you to show us the way. And honestly, I'm not really sure why the Holy Spirit chose Matthias over Justus. We don't have their qualifications. They seem pretty much the same. We do believe that Matthias was killed for his faith, was killed for his nomination going forward. I don't think any of you have to worry about that, I hope. Okay. But who knows? Who knows the future of America? Anyway, on page 5 of your book, I want you to say together, before I look at the offices and ask you to, page 6, sorry, before we think about this, Doug Clory, who is the Vice Minister General of our order, at a recent national election, told us that, like a computer or a cell phone, the default is yes. If somebody asks you, okay, that's the default, yes, okay, if you're nominated, yes. And then leave it up to the Holy Spirit, like Justice and Matthias did. You may not be chosen, okay? It's possible. Why don't you give the Holy Spirit a chance to say no? Page 6. Let us say this together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, my dear God, we pray for the guidance of your most Holy Spirit as he review in our minds the personal attributes required by the various council positions. Illumine for us our own strengths and those of our fellow members, that you may inspire us to recognize who it is you desire to serve your fraternity. Dear Francis, we also ask for your guidance as we seek a new council. Lead us to those who will help us to grow in your virtues, humble, polite, peacemakers, and ardent lovers of our crucified Lord. Help each of us to discover what is ours to do. Not our will, Lord, but thy will be done. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I was at the spiritual assistance meeting earlier, and Father Linus made the great observation, as he always does on everything, that, you know, who's going to be a spiritual assistant to apply for the class? I mean, you can advertise it, you can put up bulletins. And Father Linus says, you know, it's all by personal invitation. It's all by personal invitation. If you want new members of your fraternities, guess what? You have to invite them personally to come to your meeting. So I want to challenge you that this is just the first call. We have 2 more calls, and I'll probably make another call during the election itself. That if you really think somebody should nominate you, invite them personally. Would you nominate me? If nobody says they want to nominate you, that should tell you something. On the other hand, if somebody wants to invite you, I mean, you can decline tonight, and I understand. I was talking to, I won't name any names, at dinner tonight, wonderful lady who's serving as minister of her local fraternity, and she said she will not be going up for election next time because of personal health issues that she really needs to take care of. Great. I have no complaint about that. And she currently is serving as minister, so in a certain extent, she's paid her dues. So I totally understand if your conscience says no. But again, default is yes. This is the first call for nominations. Do I hear any nominations for the office of minister of the Brothers and Sisters of St. Francis Regent? I think Jerry's already on there. And I don't have a list of who's already been nominated, okay? But I think Jerry's already up, okay? Thank you. Any other nominations? Okay, again, think about this seriously. I'll be back, God willing. Any nominations, first call for the office of Vice Minister of the Brothers and Sisters of St. Francis Regent? Madeline? Okay, Dorothy Ann, are you here? I think I've seen you. Will you accept this nomination? Wow, thank you. Now, I don't know who the secretary of the elections are, but remember, I mean, I'm writing down, but I may not have the correct spelling or everybody's name. I'm not sure everybody knows everybody, so just a little heads up that before we vote tomorrow, those of you who are voters, I will ask the people who are nominated just to make a little brief introduction or, you know, just so everybody knows who you are. You will have a chance to talk. You can sit, smile, and sit down, no problem, but you will have a chance. So, Dorothy Ann Rowland, and thank you, Dorothy Ann. That's the default mode. Yes. Okay. Willie, I saw you raising your hand. Okay, I saw Paula earlier. Paula, are you still here? Paula, do you accept? Wow. Thank you, Paula. Okay. That's great. Okay, no problem. Well, just I hope somebody else is writing the names down. I've got two nominations. Any other nominations? Want to roll here for Vice Minister? Okay. All right. Any nominations for the office of, and I'm just going down the list that they gave me at the pre-visitation. I'm not doing it in any other order than what I was given. For the office of Secretary of the Brothers and Sisters of St. Francis Regent. This is first call. Again, pray over this. Remember what Linus said. It's all by personal invitation. Okay. Any other nominations for the office of Treasurer of the Brothers and Sisters of St. Francis Regent? Now, I did see that there were two other nominees for secretary, okay, Christine and Nora. There is a nominee for treasurer, Greg. Do you recognize Greg with his beard? He was trying to be incognito, but I recognized him. Any other nominees for the Office of Formation Director? And I have Sarah Nell and Diane, Formation Director. Any other nominees for Area 1 Counselor? And I've got Barbara and Lanny. Are you Lanny? Okay, be ready for a little talk, Lanny, so everybody knows who you are tomorrow. Less than an hour. Any other nominees for Area 2 Counselor? And I have three names already. Carol and Charles and Dorothy Ann. Any other nominations? And finally, I think this is the last of the elected officers. I think everybody else, J-Pick, Carolyn, are you appointed? Is that right? Okay. And is the Formation Commission Chair, is it also the Formation Director? Okay. Any other nominees for Area 3 Counselor? And I have three names here, Marie, Marion, and Dorothy Ann again. Any other nominees? The first time that I remember that I came here was the elections in 2007. I believe I did Jerry's election in 2010. And so I've got a good sense of this wonderful region, and you, unlike many of our regions, are growing, increasing in numbers and increasing in fraternities, while many of our regions are decreasing in both fraternities and numbers. So whatever you're doing, please look for a council that's going to keep this region alive. And we can only do that if we stay alive in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tom, and thank you all. And again, if you feel that little tap on your shoulder, know that someone upstairs is trying to tell you something. So please consider serving in whatever capacity that you feel the Holy Spirit is calling you to. And as Brother Tom said, if you feel nudged to be placed in nomination, just ask one of your members to place your name in nomination. So don't be bashful. Yes, Dorothy Ann is mentioning that there is a poster outside that does have those who accepted nomination during our initial process. So there is pictures and a little short bio of those people who did say yes. So you might want to take a chance, not a chance, but take time to look at that information. I also want to mention that in room 2A, and that section number 2 is divided into 4 separate little rooms. But in room 2A, you'll find information on St. Francis pilgrimages, our brother Brett Toman. So, again, avail yourselves of any of that information. And if you haven't registered yet, our dear ladies from Channel of Peace, who are handling registrations for us this year, once again, on the back table. And please stop by and get your packets and your badges and so forth. Again, it's great being with everyone. And we will break now and have a social over in the Connector building, over in the Connector level of the Mountain Laurel. Please take time to have a cup of coffee or some lemonade or a cookie or something and just introduce yourself to one another. If you don't know someone, take a minute to maybe get to know them. So, again, enjoy. I'll see you over there, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless.